Our topic for the morning is the authority from within. There's a typo in the bulletin. Drawing from the first chapter of Mark, where Jesus is described as one who teaches with authority. The author of Mark describes Jesus engaging in three primary activities: preaching, teaching, and healing. Well, in the passage we're about to read, we see two of the three referenced: teaching and healing. And I need my clicker to scroll through. From the first chapter of Gospel according to Mark, we find these verses. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. Friends, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Perhaps you noticed the A's in this pericope: astounding and its synonym amazing, and authority. After Jesus taught, they were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority. And then after he healed, they were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority." They are astounded, amazed at his authority. There are a lot of things in our world that amaze us, astound us, are there not? Whether it be in the world of nature, or in the intricacies of science, in the orbit of technology, in the realm of human behavior, there are things out there that are nothing short of, you said it, amazing. Simply Google amazing things in nature, or amazing things in sports, or amazing things in music, or amazing things people can do with their bodies, and you'll find some astounding things. Jesus amazed the people. They were astounded, for he taught them as one having authority. They were all amazed, and they kept asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority." Jesus is something of an enigma in first century Palestine. His presence in Galilee ignites a chain of events which has done no less than alter the course of history. Jesus appears in Galilee preaching, teaching, and healing. And this activity, when coupled with what is described as Jesus' authority, makes him stand out from the other preachers, teachers, and healers of the day. Remember, he wasn't the only preacher, teacher, or healer plying his trade at the time. But he is the one we remember today. He is the reason we are here this morning. Something made him stand out. So let's look at this other A, authority. When the people describe Jesus as teaching with authority, not as the scribes teach, but with authority, what do you think they may be talking about? What is authority? Of course, authority is the power to make decisions, the power to control or influence the direction of events. A school principal has the authority, meaning the power, to make certain decisions about his or her school. A business owner has the authority, the power, to make decisions about his or her business. Towns and boroughs have the authority to levy taxes and to punish, the power to punish violators. As a minister, I have the authority to make certain decisions which affect the life of this congregation. Or at least I live under that illusion anyway. But I don't think that's what's going on here. When the people talk about Jesus as teaching with authority, I don't think they're referring to a power granted to him by virtue of his position. On the contrary, they contrast the teaching and authority of Jesus with that of the scribes, who by virtue of their position do have power, do have an authority. No, I think they're talking about a different sort of authority. And the nature of this authority came to life for me one day, some 25 years or so ago, at the American Church in Paris, France, when I was serving as associate pastor. Bob Bishop, director of outreach at the church at the time, somehow arranged to have a Tibetan Buddhist monk who happened to be in Paris come to the church and speak one evening. He was referred to by the name Rinpoche, which is an honorific used to describe lamas and other highly respected teachers. And as I listened to him speak, I think I began to understand something of what the people meant when they described Jesus as speaking with authority. It wasn't the content so much that amazed me, but the fact that he could sit there on the floor, legs folded in a cross-legged style, and speak for some 40 or 45 minutes, sometimes barely above a whisper, and hold the crowd spellbound. It was clear that what this man was saying came from some deep spiritual reservoir, from a depth of conviction born of a spiritual maturity that lended an astounding authority to his words. And it was from this depth, this reservoir of spirituality, that this man drew his authority, and I contend it is what the people saw in Jesus when they described him as teaching with authority. When Jesus is described as teaching with authority, it is an authority granted neither by academic degrees nor conferred by human beings. Instead, this authority comes from deep within, from time spent in prayer and study, from going on vision quests, through contemplation, through meditation. The student of the Gospels learns that Jesus derives this authority from two simple yet hard to master disciplines: knowledge of Scripture and knowledge of God. It's clear that Jesus spent a lot of time immersing himself in Scripture. Part of his authority comes from the way he was able to draw on Scripture, not only from memory, but also with great interpretive power. Jesus doesn't say, "As did the prophets of old, thus says the Lord." No, Jesus says, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." Jesus says, "Today this prophecy is fulfilled in your hearing." This is why the people are so amazed. Jesus claimed authority for himself, and in order to do this, he had to be immersed in the content of Scripture itself. There's the saying, you can't teach effectively what you don't know. Jesus knew of what he was speaking. Secondly, Jesus had an intimate relationship with God. Numerous times it is reported that Jesus withdrew to a lonely place apart to pray, to commune, to contemplate, to meditate. Jesus is a person of prayer. He prays on the Mount of Transfiguration. He prays in the Garden of Gethsemane. He withdraws to deserted places to pray. The disciples ask him to teach them to pray. Jesus is intentional in setting aside time to be in communion with God. It is through this relationship that Jesus' authority and power are derived. And it is the power and authority and fortitude derived from this relationship that enables Jesus to face the future with confidence, hope, even love and joy, as events eventually spiraled out of control, leading to his death. This reality speaks to me as a pastor. Often those of us who are entrusted with the responsibility of preaching find ourselves seeking to buttress our words by claiming the authority of a noted theologian or scholar, as Barth says, or as John Calvin wrote. Nothing is wrong with that, as long as it is not used as a substitute for preachers spending time developing and deepening that spiritual reservoir. As long as preachers spend that time apart with God. For you can tell when a preacher speaks with authentic authority. This reality speaks to elders and deacons, a new class of which we ordained and installed last Sunday. Officers who overlook or shortchange the call to devotional living will find themselves disillusioned or frustrated with the details of leadership. Or yes, worse yet, will become burned out. This reality speaks to those of you in the pew. If we overlook or shortchange the call to devotional living, if we fail to deepen our spiritual selves and spend time doing so, we too will become disillusioned, anxious, unable to withstand in a productive way the various challenges that come with being human. You know, it seems that one thing we 21st century Americans want is a quick fix. We want a diet that will do away in 6 weeks what it has taken 10 years to accumulate. We want the investment that will double practically overnight. Instant gratification is practically an expectation, a right. And likewise, we want a faith that will satisfy us, provide answers to our questions about life and our place in it. We want a faith that will not only challenge us, but that will fill us with peace and happiness and security about our life direction, about the direction of our world. And that's what faith will do. But too often we want it without discipline, without investing time in study, fellowship, and devotion. We want the rewards of the faith, but too often we are not willing to till the ground. Jesus spent time with Scripture, and Jesus spent time with God. In so doing, Jesus tapped into a power, a deep and abiding power, the deep and abiding power of the Holy Spirit, and it gave to him the authority which amazed, an authority from within. And that same power of the Holy Spirit is available to you and to me. But it is a power which comes through a relationship we must cultivate. That Tibetan Lama, Jesus, have authority because they work at developing their spiritual interior. So must we. Friends, let's make sure we exercise the expectation that we can have a meaningful spiritual life without working at it. If we want to have in our lives the power to face the ups and downs we inevitably face, to face our inner demons, let us follow the lead of Jesus. Let us immerse ourselves in the faith of our ancestors. And let us commune with God in prayer, study, worship, fellowship, service. And we too can have that authority that comes from living a life of deep devotion.